Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cows, mad cows. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show on another Friday afternoon. Sign Guy with you as normal. Real quick, before we get into things with our guests, some show notes. Tonight, WCWO is at PopCon in Indianapolis, so they will be there the next couple of days, tonight and tomorrow, so you can find WCWO there. Live Pro Wrestling in Royston, Georgia tonight. Action Wrestling in Tyrone, Georgia. And the NWA in Harriman, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, Combat Pro Wrestling presents Theatrical Wrestling in Linwood, Washington at Club Hectic. WCWO back at it at PopCon in Indianapolis. EPW in Odin, Indiana. 907 in Anchorage, Alaska. NEW in Danbury, Connecticut. LPW in Manchester, Connecticut. CEW in Savannah, Georgia. WTF in Fortville, Indiana. ESW in Medina, New York. And New Era Wrestling happening in Shelbyville, Indiana tomorrow. So if you have some pro wrestling near you, get out there and support your local independents. I will not, unfortunately, make it to CPW Presents Theatrical Wrestling tomorrow night, but everyone in the area encouraged to attend that. And anywhere you have professional wrestling, get out there and support. Great time to be a fan right now. And we are still awaiting the arrival of our guest today, Christian Wilde, and he will be here with us very shortly. So while we wait, here is a brief musical interlude. All right, brief musical interlude is over, and our guest has joined us. Christian Wilde, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. How you doing, sir?
Doing very, very well. And
can you hear me
if
on?
My memory serves me, this is your first time here, so that means you get the traditional first-timer question to start things. How did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
You want the long story or the short story? Because I can make this. This could be a, you know, the whole show. But I'll try to make it somewhat quick. I can tell you. I remember the first time I saw wrestling come across the TV screen, and I was glued, and I couldn't look away. And I was about seven or eight, and I've been watching it since then. I'm now 22. And I got into the business when I was about 12, actually, with a local promotion in Spokane, Washington, that my dad was making T-shirts for, and so I was in there just helping set up the ring, and I was ringing the bell during shows, timekeeper, if you will. And I did that for a long time, and when I was about 15, 16, I started reffing matches. I went over to Seattle and trained with Aubrey Edwards at a place that no longer exists. And did that for a while, you know, went to a lot of seminars and a lot of classes, but never a full-time training program, and I turned 18 right when COVID happened. COVID happened right before I turned 18, so I never really got a chance to work until after COVID, but that's how I got into the business.
I'm going to call for a hold at some point in one of your matches and ask you to give me the long version.
Okay, I'll be sure to do that. We might have to do a couple of checks and get to keep the crowd into it, because that'll take a while, but...
That's okay, I'm patient. Now, getting into wrestling, you'd been watching it for several years before you got into training. When you first started training, was it similar to what you expected going into it, or was it very different from what
no.
you anticipated?
Oh, it was very different. It was very different. And I think it would be different today. It would be a lot different if I was the same age today and started today than, you know, 10 years ago, right? Because I think wrestling has changed a lot in the last 10 years, and I think the form of introduction to training has changed a lot in the last 10 years. I think you know what I mean by that. And, you know, there's a hazing aspect to things that doesn't necessarily exist much anymore. And I kind of experienced some of that, or the last end of that. And so I think it's different today, but, yeah, it was definitely not what I expected. In a lot of ways.
Fair enough. Now, a lot of fans may not be aware, but you, in addition to wrestling, also do music. A lot of times the two worlds will converge on each other. We've seen a lot of wrestlers, even at the independent level, incorporate music into their wrestling business, whether it is coming up with entrance songs or running the sound or hiring bands to play at intermission, whatever the case may be. Have you brought the musical aspect of what you do into professional wrestling at this point, or do you try to keep the two worlds separate?
Well, you know, I've kept the two separate for, you know, up till now. I wouldn't even say that I've intentionally done that. That's just, you know, how it's turned out to be. But I'll let you know, and I'll let the fans know that there is things coming, okay? Soon, very soon, there will be musical aspects. The two worlds will collide. I've already started making, I have my own entrance music that I've made. I've offered to make music and my band to make music for, you know, other people, anybody. That's an open offer right now for anybody listening as well. I'm starting to do that. What you said about booking bands to play at intermissions and things, that's also something I'm interested in, but also haven't had the opportunity to do quite yet, but totally am interested in doing stuff like that. I'll just say stay tuned. Look forward to it. It's coming.
Now, that sort of answers my next question, but not totally. We know at Northwest Pro, you, for the last several months, have come out to the song Spoon Man. Was there ever any thought into incorporating a song with the word wild in the title as your entrance music?
You know, There was a very great, wise, intelligent, very good at the three count man that once told me that Wild in the Streets would be a good song. And you know, it could be, but it doesn't fit who I am, you know? And so there's a chance for that, but I'll tell you that it would most likely be a song with the word wild in the title that I create.
Fair enough. Now, you have been around for a few years, but when you wrestle, you often make several-hour trips from where you live to your booking. As someone that has been traveling longer distances, if someone getting into the business now were to come to you for advice on the travel aspect, what are some of the things that you have learned that you would pass on to someone in order to help them have successful road trips?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a really great question. First off, you start with the number one thing, your mode of transportation. So if you're going to be, we're talking about driving here, so you want to look at how you're getting there. So what vehicle are you taking is actually probably, in my opinion, the most important thing. Because if you take a vehicle that gets, you know, let's say 15 to 18, under 20 miles per gallon, you're going to have to fill up. If you're doing a road trip that's over 4 hours, over 5 hours, anything up to, you know, 12, 14, that's what I've done, you have to fill up a lot more on gas. I drove from Spokane to Salt Lake City, which is a 12-hour drive, and that car I drove at was 18 miles to the gallon, and I had to fill up five times on the way there. And when I drove the current car that I drive now, which gets about 35, can get about 38 when you're on the highway, that car I filled up, I haven't driven that to Utah, but I've driven half the distance, so if I were to do the math and multiply there, I would have only had to fill up twice rather than six times. Spending, you know, $200+ on gas each direction when you have a car that doesn't get good gas mileage, but when you have a car that gets really good gas mileage, you can pay, you know, $140 the entire round trip in gas because you only have to fill up, you know, once. You only have to fill up when you get there. When I fill up my car, I can go 460 miles before I need to fill up. Most, you know, if I get a car with 18 miles to the gallon, it's not doing that. So I'd say start with the car that you drive. That's really important. And then be smart with your food. Be smart with what you decide to eat. You're going to probably end up eating some food that's not good for you, that's, you know, from a gas station or from a fast food place, but also try to at least stop at like a grocery store or get a good meal at least once or twice, you know? And, yeah, if you're going on anything longer, I mean, I don't ever like to go alone. So I always suggest to take a friend or get another guy in the car with you. Never know when, the show might need another guy.
And for those guys, take your gear because you never know.
Always. Always have your gear.
All of your gear because you never know what role might be open.
Yes, yes. And be available to multiple roles, you know? If it's a place that's never seen you and you're out of state and they definitely don't know who you are because you're an up-and-comer, you know, be open to reffing somewhere. If they're like, hey, we'll have you come in and ref, and then, you know, build a relationship there. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And you've been a regular competitor at Northwest Pro for quite a while now. And
coming up on 2 years.
Yes. Over the last several months, we have seen a surge of ticket sales at Northwest Pro. It coincided with Taekwondo being featured on the local Fox affiliate's news program, he's become extremely popular with the fans at Northwest Pro. From your perspective, what do you think of this rise in popularity with Taekwon Bro and the spillover popularity with the company as a result?
Well, I think it's awesome. I think, you know, it's awesome to see the place full. The shows are full. It's really awesome. It's really loud in there. There's a really good energy. It's good to see familiar faces, returning faces, but also new faces every time. I see people there every time that I've never seen, and I see people there that I've seen at every show. It's awesome for everybody, and it's really great. I've seen the growth over the last almost 2 years now, and I'm glad to be a big part of it. It's really awesome, and I'm can't wait to see the continued growth.
And when you look at Northwest Pro from where you first entered the company to now, they have stepped up the production end of things. They have been updating the YouTube channel much more frequently and are current with the shows on the YouTube channel. They have the barrack age for the fans now that you don't see a lot at the independent level. They take pride in making sure everything looks like a professionally ran company. What do you think of the evolution in the production values of the company?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I mean, I went to my first Northwest Pro show as a spectator. Actually, I ran a camera, a hard camera, when I was about 13 or 14, something in there, probably 14. Excuse me. And, 8 years ago, have seen shows that they had where there's a hard cam and one moving cam that's not very good, like real shaky and not good angles and no commentary and, you know, maybe 20 people there, 30 people there, not a big crowd, good, you know, consistent crowd. They're cheering. They're a loud crowd for how many people are there, but, you know, small, growing. It took time. But, to see the production now with multiple camera angles and the fans are really into it and they make it good, and you can hear that with the commentators, and there's a storytelling aspect to it, and the production has improved a lot. And like you said, the YouTube being updated a lot and putting stuff out is really nice, and I think it's great.
Speaking of commentary, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers at the independent level do not always appreciate is that when fans are watching the YouTube channel or a live stream or what have you, the commentary team often is responsible for educating the new viewers on what's happening, who is who, why is this guy fighting this guy, and all of that. A lot of independent wrestlers don't really stop to think of that aspect of things, so they don't always talk to the commentary team and give them information that will help tell that story. In your own personal career, have you spent much time talking with the commentary team and making sure they have information that's going to help them build you up, or do you leave that to the commentary team to sort of learn as they go what you're doing and what story to tell?
A little bit of both there. So obviously, you know, commentators are in on, you know, pre-show meetings and what the booker wants, and, you know, so they should know, you know, at least what the main storyline is. And so I leave that aspect up to them. But, you know, I have spoke with commentators about, like, hey, these are some of the moves that I do, and, Here's some names to call me and things to say, you know, about where I'm from or, you know, how to emphasize, you know, my heart and stuff like that. So a little bit of both.
One of the things that popped up in the last 10 years or so in pro wrestling at the independent level is the use of live over the PA commentary. We've seen a couple of instances with pay-per-view groups that tried that, but then independent companies sort of picked up on it and started using it. There's a lot of people with very strong opinions on that both ways. Do you do very many shows where commentary is piped in over the PA, and do you have an overall opinion of that?
Yeah, I definitely do have a strong opinion about that, and I am somebody who absolutely hates it. I totally am not a fan for one simple reason, just because, you know, the aspect of, I mean, I know that we've pulled the curtain, the curtain has been pulled back a little bit more in this day and age, but at the same time, you still want to give off the aspect that we are fighting. And so, in my opinion, when you have a commentator that I can hear, my opponent can hear, the ref can hear, especially if it was something like where the ref had their back turned and you're using a weapon and the ref isn't supposed to see it, that's impossible. You can't do that if you have commentary over there, because how does that make sense? The ref just is supposed to act like they don't hear the commentator saying that there's a weapon being used and doesn't hear it going on. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I and same with, like, you know, if I have my back turned to my opponent and he's, like, setting up, ready to strike when I turn around, the commentators are obviously going to say that, and I'm going to know now that he's behind me waiting. And so that just doesn't seem right. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, and I have stopped many a match to turn around and question what the live PA commentators saw. Usually it silences them on that the rest of the night. But
yeah, I'm not a fan.
There's very few people that I've experienced that know how to do it properly, and I'm going to throw Rob Milliron's name out there as the best that I've experienced. He does a good job on using it as a way to educate newer fans much more so than to get themselves over and make comments that a few of the people at home are going to understand. So I am right there with you on that. Obviously, pro wrestling right now is in an era where there's perhaps more television than ever at the national level. You have WWE on USA Network and Fox, soon to be on Netflix. You have AEW on TNT and TBS. WOW Women of Wrestling airs on the CW and CBS affiliates. You have Impact Wrestling on Access TV. New Japan Pro Wrestling is on Access TV. So pretty much every night of the week there's some form of national wrestling. Do you think that, by and large, from what you see and from what your experiences are, that at the independent level, wrestlers are being taught how to wrestle for a televised product versus strictly just shows that live fans are going to see?
I think it depends on where you go, where you're trained at, and who, like, what promotion you're working for, because In my opinion, if the promotion that you work for, or one, you know, one of them, right, let's just say one of them, but still, if all of the ones that you work for are the same way and are like this and have, you know, let's say six or seven matches and the show is 4 hours, or five or six matches and the show is 4 hours, and every match is 30 to 40 minutes, like, at some point, you're going to have to know how to work a five-minute match. You're going to have to know how to work a 10-minute match. You're going to have to know how to work a 15-minute match and not have any time cues and be able to work 5, 10, 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 8 minutes, and know how long that is, you know, in your head, or at least close enough or pretty close within a minute or so in order to work on TV. And, you know, I haven't worked on TV, but I have worked for places that get you prepared to work on TV and have matches of that style. Because a TV match, and I've worked, and I've done, and I've taken a lot of seminars from guys who've worked TV for 20 plus years, okay? And so they've all said the same thing, which is that you have to, a TV match is a lot different than a match that's got no time, or even if you have a time limit given to you on an indie show, like, it's different when you're working just the crowd versus working the camera. And it's different when you've got 5 minutes compared to 40, or 5 minutes compared to 20. Like, a lot of guys can't work 5 minutes. A lot of guys can't work 40. But a lot of guys can work 40 that can't work 5. Does that make sense?
It does, and sadly a lot of wrestlers don't understand the difference in that. They think, well, the live crowd liked my 15-minute match, so it was correct, not realizing their 15-minute match just cost an entire segment of TV to have to be completely cut out and readjusted.
Yeah, and 15 minutes in a, let's say you, if you have a two-hour program, you really only have an hour and, what is that, an hour and, like, 28, an hour and 33. It's somewhere in there like that, because you have commercials, and each block, they call them blocks, you have one short block, but you also, each block between commercials where you're actually on TV, the longest block that you have is 10 minutes, you know, or 12 minutes. Or if you have a 15-minute block, then you're going to have a couple of short blocks at the end. You decide where the commercials go, but if you have a big gap at the front without commercials, you got to put a bunch of commercials there at the end. So like you're saying, if you take up all that time, you now have messed up other places in the rest of the show. And sorry, but one match, unless you're the main event, and even if you are the main event, one match isn't more important than the whole show.
Exactly. You brought up styles of wrestling, and one of the growing styles in the United States is the Lucha Libre style. In the last 25 years or so, it's become much, much more accepted in the United States than it was previously. Fans have grown to enjoy that style of wrestling, and now you see Lucha Libre promotions all over the United States in places that aren't traditional Lucha Libre towns. What do you think of that style of professional wrestling?
Oh, I love it. I'm a huge fan. I'm a smaller guy. I'm not necessarily short, but I'm shorter. I'm not tall. I'm not over 6 foot. I'm just under 6 foot. But I try to incorporate some of those moves. I love lucha. I've taken some lucha classes, lucha seminars. I love to watch it. Those guys are some crazy athletes. I can't do a lot of that stuff, but I try to do some of it. You know, true lucha is work on the opposite side, which obviously I don't do. You know, don't do. I've never worked a true lucha match against a luchador, but I love it. I think it's great. I love the different styles. I think it's great that there are different styles, and so that people can enjoy what they want to enjoy.
look at the landscape of wrestling now versus the landscape of wrestling when you first broke in refereeing, do you find that the audience has changed as far as the makeup of who is going to shows and what the audience likes and dislikes at shows, or has it largely remained the same in what you've experienced?
Oh, I think it's changed. I think there's a lot more of everybody at wrestling shows now. Like, I think a lot, like, if that makes sense, I think, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever, you would see maybe less kids. I mean, I know there were kids at shows. It depends on what kind of show you were at. I did shows that were also where, you know, I was, like, the only one there because I was working that was under, like, 18. But I've also seen shows with a lot of kids. But nowadays it seems like it's a family thing. There's a lot of people that just go with the whole family. You got grandpa, dad, mom, you know, kids. Like it's a family thing. I see a bunch of the groups of friends going, younger adults, you know. It's a lot. I saw a couple of people on a date that you know, the girl wanted to take him to wrestling. They were on like their third or fourth date at the last show I worked, and talked to him after the show. It was cute. I've seen a lot more diversity in terms of who's coming, you know. It was a lot more like dads and sons back in the day, and now it's a lot more of everybody.
One of the things that people within the industry have really flocked to in the last few years is the CAC. It used to be a closed-off gathering of people in the wrestling and boxing community to have a reunion. It was opened up to anybody that wanted to attend roughly 10 years ago, and they still have elements of the reunion, but now they have a live show attached to it. They have seminars. They are still a benevolent organization that will assist with wrestlers in need financially, so they've maintained that, but it's changed quite a bit in the last 10 years or so from where it started. Do you ever attend the CAC reunions?
Now, I would love to. I have not yet, though.
And when you look at sort of what the CAC is, and they've incorporated a lot of fan fest aspects of it and memorabilia sales and things of that nature, just looking at it from your perspective as someone in the industry, do you think that having it opened up to everyone adds to the CAC, or do you think it detracts from what the original intent was?
I think it's a good thing, just because, I mean, we all want to make money, right? So why not be able to add a little dollar to your pocket while you get to have that reunion? And there are still, I mean, obviously, while there are fans there, at the same time, I'm sure the guys that want to get together and have time together without fans around are still able to do that. They have hotel rooms. They have places they can go. I'm sure they can go, you know, go eat at a restaurant together, not next to where the CAC is happening. There are ways they can do it, right? So I think that whoever wants to still have those reunion-type meetings or connections, although it won't be the whole congregation without fans, you can still do those privately, you know? So I think you can still get what the original intent was done while still being able to sell merch and stuff, like you said, and make some money.
One of the things in wrestling that wrestlers use to make money, especially at the independent level, is merchandise. Some wrestlers at the independent level, and even at the national level, will oftentimes make far more off of merchandise than they do for their actual wrestling. What have you done in your career as far as merchandising?
So far, I know I'm way behind in the merch game, like way behind in the merch game, but I've had stickers that I hand out to kids, you know, so I just give them out for free. And I have T-shirts that are being printed right now. So hopefully at the next show, but if not, soon you will be able to get a Christian Wild shirt at a merch booth near you, or probably on ProWrestlingTees.com.
In a similar vein, one of the things that wrestlers have to have is wrestling gear. We've seen wide varieties of it over the years at the independent level, everything from guys will put on a T-shirt and a pair of shorts and a pair of basketball shoes and go to the ring, to guys that have professionally made gear custom to them from seamstresses that have worked at the national level. There's wide varieties of quality and look and all of that. How do you personally decide on what gear you want to have and where to acquire it?
Well, currently the gear I have worn for the last, I have one set. I know I'm terrible. I have one set, and I've worn it for a while. And I do wash it frequently, so don't even go down that path. But they are I've always enjoyed biker shorts, and so that's the look that I went for. And so the new gear that is currently being made for me that I should have within a month or two is not that. It's far different. It's like you said, it's out there a little bit. It's a full body cat suit with tassels. It's gonna look beautiful, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's all up to you, man. Like you said, I'm not really a fan of the T-shirt and the basketball shorts and tennis shoes, but other than that, you know, if it fits your who you are and your gimmick, and you know, I'm all for it.
Now, we've seen over the years on social media wrestlers that would complain that newer guys were coming in and wearing tennis shoes or wrestling shoes from the amateur wrestling game, and they didn't have professional boots. Then we started seeing people at WrestleMania coming out wearing basketball shoes and amateur wrestling shoes and things of that nature, so it became more accepted once that happened. Do you personally have a preference when it comes to having professional wrestling boots or using anything that feels comfortable to who's wearing it?
Yeah, I think it's anything that feels comfortable to who's wearing it. I mean, obviously I wouldn't go in there wearing, like, you know, steel toe work boots. That's not cool. But you know, whatever fits your build. You know, Dusty Rhodes wore cowboy boots.
Very true. Someone
and
else.
If the tennis, if the basketball shoes fit your gimmick, you know, I think Kofi Kingston wears basketball shoes. It works for him. John Cena wears basketball shoes, or I think just tennis shoes. That works for him. If it works for you, it works. And if it works, that's cool. I got no problem with that. I'm all for it. I would never wear that, is what I mean.
I get you, for sure. Another person that wears less traditional wrestling boots and more of the working boot is Lumberjack. And Lumberjack is someone you have had a long history with over the last few years. We know that he can be a vile, detestable performer in that ring. What's the current relationship between yourself and the Lumberjack these days?
Well, I haven't seen the Lumberjack. Well, I mean, I've seen the Lumberjack, but I haven't been in the ring with the Lumberjack in a little while, and I'm glad that Lumberjack hits pretty hard. And yeah, we've had our battles. He's won some, I've won some. So just because he's bigger than me, that doesn't mean a thing. I mean, I've shown that, right?
Indeed. One of the aspects of professional wrestling is that if you are in it for any length of time, injury is going to become something that you'll have to deal with at some point, whether it's something minor that does not keep you out of the ring but is bothersome, or something more significant that will cause you to lose time in your career. What are some of the injuries that you have endured so far?
Early on, I had a couple of concussions, but other than that, since then, I've been pretty lucky. Other than I had a groin injury about a year ago, I didn't have to miss much time, but I was able to wrestle through it. But other than that, not much. I have a ongoing issue with my left elbow. It pops a lot, and like the inside part of the elbow is kind of funky. I mean, everything works fine. It just hurts some days, or like tingles, and yeah. The doctor says it like would have to be fixed by surgery, but it's not like, as long as it's not like in pain, it's not damaged or anything, so it's not gonna, I'm not damaging it or anything to keep doing stuff. So but until it goes out, it's still there. So yeah, other than that, not much. Just those few little things, but they're stuff I'm able to work through.
Another thing that often pops up in our industry is the occasional blood in a match. Some people have no problem at all with seeing blood in pretty much every match that goes to the ring. Others do not want to see blood if it can at all be helped on any show. There are people in the middle that think as long as there's blood work done and things are being done to minimize risk, then it's acceptable. We've learned a lot in the last few years on blood-borne pathogens, and of course, a lot of states have regulations on blood as it relates to wrestling if they have a state athletic commission. For your own personal career, where do you stand on the issue of blood in wrestling?
I've never had blood in any match. I've never bled in any match. Let me be correct. My opponent has bled. I've never bled. But I'm not opposed to blood in wrestling. I mean, obviously, don't, if the state doesn't like it, don't do it. But also, I don't think the state should be telling you to have a problem with it. Like you said, as long as proper blood work is done and everything, everybody's licensed and, you know, you're doing your job correctly. I don't see an issue with it. I mean, come on, we have, like, porn stars and that's legal, right? And they get to just bang everybody as long as their test work is clean. They're fine, right?
Yeah, you just have to have the clean blood test is all.
Yeah, yeah, so there you go. So I don't see wrestling as any different. I mean, it's not the same as porn, but I meant, like, in the blood aspect. Like, if your blood's clean, I don't think there's an issue. So as long as everybody's been tested and they're good, I don't have an issue with it.
At one point in time, pro wrestling had a very known and very public issue with steroid use. It has seemingly been curtailed as we learn more from medical science about the long-term effects of steroids. I'm sure that it is still out there to some degree, but even the national companies have taken at least some steps to try to curb that. On the independent level, you may not see as much because usually the independent wrestlers cannot afford it, but I know some over the years have dabbled in it as well. From what you have seen and experienced, do you think that at this point in time, wrestling has gotten away from the steroid problem, or do you think that it's there and just not discussed as much, or do you think that it is still a pretty big problem?
Oh, it's there, not discussed as much, and less people do it, but obviously it's still there. There's still people who do it. There's probably always going to be people who do it, and I'm obviously not somebody who does it or encourages anybody to do it or advocates for it, but at the same time, I'm not going to tell somebody not to do it. Like, if somebody is doing it and they want to do it, it's like, they know the risk, okay? There's nobody that's taking steroids that doesn't know the health risk. So they all know. They're all okay with that. And in my opinion, it's almost like I don't think the government should tell you you can't have a smoke or a drink, right? Like, that's the same thing to me. It's something that harms your body, but I also don't think that there should be laws against it, if that makes sense. I don't think you should be getting people in trouble for it or, like, telling them, oh, you're bad because you do this, but I also wouldn't encourage anybody to do it or tell them to do it. But those people that want to do it are going to do it either way, right? So let them do it.
You came along in an era where wrestling has largely got away from it, but generations ago, the carny language was something that pretty much all wrestlers were taught how to use, and they would use it whenever there was an outsider around, and pretty much everyone in the business knew how to speak carny and understand carny. We've gotten far away from that to where on a typical show there may only be one or two people that even know what carny is. From your own experiences, do you run into a lot of people that still use carny and try to teach it, or is it something you have not experienced?
Oh, nobody teaches it, but there's definitely a few people who, like you said, at least probably one, if two, like you said, very minimum on each show, but there's definitely people who still know it. But yeah, nobody's teaching that.
One of the other things that I'm sure you have noticed in professional wrestling is that the actual physical rings can vary a lot. You have some very well-built rings that are easy to wrestle in, and you have rings that cause injuries and cause wrestlers to second-guess their career choices. Some rings look really great on video, others do not. Some rings are much higher than others. Some rings use real ropes, some use cable. So there's a lot of differences between the actual physical rings. Do you have a personal favorite in which you wrestle?
I don't know about personal favorite, but, well, actually, it's a lie. My personal favorite is an 18-foot ring that a guy in Spokane owns, and it's not used really anymore, but that's the most comfortable ring I've ever been in. That's the ring I was that I started training in. That's the ring that I've drilled a lot in and that I grew up around. So that I like that ring a lot. It looks good on camera, feels good, is good all around. It's an 18, but like you said, they all vary. I've been in rings that, like you said, are not good, not safe, don't look good on camera, don't bump well, none of it. Like there's none of them are the same. You could have the same ring. It's like a car. We could both go buy the exact same brand new model of the exact same year, exact same car, same color, same everything off the lot together, with no miles on them. Those are still not the same car. Both of those cars are unique. They have their own individual parts that we're going to end up. One of us is going to end up with different problems than the other because they are not the same car. They're all unique. So the rings are all unique. You could build the same ring twice and it'll feel different. So, or look different. So, they're all. It's crazy how different they all are.
Absolutely. And you also probably have noticed that, as far as social media goes, there are tons of opinions on how best to handle social media when it comes to professional wrestling. Some guys are extremely involved and have every social media that there is. Other guys will look at social media once in a blue moon and don't really take part in it. There's a wide spectrum as far as that goes. Where do you think the important level is when it comes to social media and professional wrestling, be it as a promotion or as an individual talent?
I think it's definitely really important as a promotion for promoting shows and getting more fans in the audience. It's also pretty important for workers. But I'm not great at it, and I've been trying to be better at it, and I definitely need to be better at it. But you look at I would say the guys that are really good at it, they don't have a lack of bookings, right? So clearly it does play an important role if the people who do it a lot are always working.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure that we give you ample time. If there's anything that you want to say in closing, and if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything at all, from upcoming shows to merchandise to social media to your favorite donut shop, anything at all, floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to say thank you for anybody that does listen to this entire thing. My name is Christian Wild. You can follow me on Instagram at Wild Christian. It's backwards for everybody. Like I said, I'm trying to be better on the social media, so I will be posting more on there, so go give me a follow there. Upcoming date for Northwest Pro that you should be checking out is, let's see here, we got May 18th, June 15th, July 13th. That's the 11-year anniversary of Northwest Pro. Everybody be there. That's going to be the biggest show of the year. A lot of things are going to go down. So mark July 13th on your calendar. Vaughn, Washington, Northwest Pro. Be there August 10th, September 21st, October 19th, November 16th, December 14th. Key Peninsula Civic Center in Barm, Washington. You be there every month. The shows are amazing. They get better every time. The audience gets bigger every time. So clearly, they're doing something right. You should be there if you're not. As for me, my band, I play with a guy named Chuck Vibes, and my band is the Dead Feels. If you are in the Spokane, Washington area in the month of May, we are playing a show on the 17th at the Chameleon, so come check us out. Other than that, I don't know.
Well, Christian, I want to thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us here today. We definitely appreciate it, and I will be seeing you relatively soon, perhaps with some new merchandise at the table for you.
Yes, I hope so as well. It was nice chatting with you, and I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be doing this again, I'm sure. So, fans, if you have not yet, go check out Christian Weil on the social media. You can also find his matches on Northwest Pro's YouTube channel. So get
or
on that.
Or my YouTube channel.
Or your YouTube channel as well. So
yeah, just look up Christian Weil on YouTube. It'll pop up.
W-Y-L-D-E.
That is right.
All right, so go check him out. Great up-and-coming talent. And don't forget, we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Paris from Wrestle Club. She is the color commentator and the host of their YouTube show, Tea Time. Also a Battle Royal competitor on occasion, so make sure you join us for Paris. And then we will be back with you 1 week from today with Brian Schwartzer, who is a photographer out of the Philadelphia area. He's been in the game for a long time, so we're going to talk to him about what he has seen in the wrestling business. Everybody stay safe out there. Get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be, and we will talk to you soon.
Keep it wild.
Thank you.
believe in